Exodus 33. Moses, and we're going to study all this, so you won't get enough. I promise you, we could talk about it tonight, talk about it in Sunday school. There will still be more to learn. But Moses was called by God to lead Israel, his people, out of Egypt to the promised land, to a land that they had not seen, to a land that he had promised and given them, they had never seen it. And so Moses leads them out. Think of the things that he saw. Number one, he saw the burning bush. That's the first thing he saw. The presence of God. He saw, experienced, and was used to bring out and to take away the 10 plagues. Incredible. He lived through all that. Then, of course, the Red Sea. He saw that. I mean, we may believe in God's power. Moses held the rod up and the wind blew and the sea parted. And that's incredible. I don't care where you come from. That's something else. And so Moses saw that. He saw the manna fall from heaven and feed all as much as they could gather. And on the sixth day, they could gather enough so they wouldn't have to gather on the seventh day. And there was enough for what they needed. And the next day it was fresh, falling again. He saw that. He saw the miracles of God, the power of God. He came to the mount called Sinai, and that's where we are now. The mountain shook, and like a volcano, the thundering and the earthquake and the lightning and the smoke, the fire. Moses saw that. And the people say, "You go talk to God. We don't want to talk to him." Remember that? And he went up on that mountain. And regularly the Bible tells us he went up there alone. And yet we understand that Joshua, his companion, his servant, was with him, his protege. He was teaching Joshua all the things about God, how to lead. Now, Joshua wasn't sure what that was all about, but later he found out, didn't he? So Joshua went up on that mountain with Moses. He didn't go all the way, but he went part of the way. He saw God. God gave him instructions, fantastic instructions, gave him the commandments, told him about what he expected and what he demanded, and Moses experienced all of that. Remember, as he came down the mountain, God had told Moses about what was going on in the camp, and he came down and Joshua said, "Something's going on in the camp, sounds like war." Preacher told me that was rock and roll music. They were dancing too down there. And they came down to the camp and, of course, broke the law. And then God said, "I said, I'm done with these people." And Moses said, "Oh, God, you can't be done with these people. Please spare them one more time." Right? We all know that's true. That's Exodus. You still have to come to Sunday school, though. We find ourselves in verse number 7. They're getting ready to leave. All that's happened at Sinai. They're getting ready to leave. And we come to verse 7, chapter 33, book of Exodus. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was with the camp. So he gave them a place. Guys, this is so important. It's so important that Capitol Heights Baptist Church, that sits on this hill with words on the side of the building, is a place where people can come to find God. A place where people can come when they're searching for God. How awful would it be to come to a church searching for God and you get there and He's not there? But I tell you what, there are plenty of churches like that. You know why? Because they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want to have God's Word. They don't want to sing about God's stuff. They don't want to talk to God. They want to do their social games and their play things. They want to entertain. They don't want God. By the way, you can have a good time and still have God. And I don't know where this idea came in that church had to be boring. It doesn't. They came to that place when they were searching for God, when they needed God, when they needed a place to go. People need to be able to come in here and feel safe. They need to be able to come to this altar and pray and feel safe. They need to be able to come in here and not have anybody talking bad about them when they leave. Amen? That's not. We don't go to church for Fashion Day. We go to church for God. We come to this tabernacle, this house of God, to worship and to pray. And please, never come to this building without prayer. Don't ever get here before you pray, and don't ever leave until you pray. We need to be in touch with God. This is God's time. This is God's house. Moses put that tabernacle, look, their camp beside Sinai. He moves the tabernacle away from it, and he says if there needs to be a separate place. Look, this is not where they play. This is not where they're entertained. This is where they talk to God. This is where they seek the Lord. I'm not against kids playing games and stuff like that, but there needs to be a holiness and a sanctity place, this room. We come in here, we ought to sense the presence of God. But I'll tell you, God's going to be in this room as if we bring Him in this room, if we invite Him in this room. And He inhabits, what does He inhabit? The praise of His people. Well, didn't we do that? Some of you were, some of you weren't. He inhabits our praise. Verse 8, it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle. Why did they go to the tabernacle? To seek God. When they sought God, they sought the Lord. Moses is in touch with God. Moses was up face to face with God. But that wasn't enough. It's not enough to go spend time with God on Sunday morning. We need to go spend some time with God on Monday and Tuesday. You don't have to come here. But we need to spend some time with God. And Moses had been with God, but yet he got, and he says, I'm going to go back and be with God again. I just imagine, just picture this, if you will. All the tents, all these people camped about. Moses puts the tabernacle away. And everybody sees when somebody's going to church. Because you know, people do see when you go to church. It's a great testimony. People see you when you go to church. They know where you're going to be on Sunday morning. And Wednesday night, Moses starts to walk out there to go to church. I picture this in my mind. And I'm thinking about Moses. I'm not talking about Charlton Heston. But Moses walking out there, right? I just picture Moses walking out, and he walks through the camp. And everybody, when Moses walks by, there's this admiration. This love for Moses. I know there were those who didn't like him. There were those who wanted to stone him. But there were those who had great admiration for this man of God. Remember, when the mountain was shaking, they say, you go talk to God. They believed he had the power. They believed in his calling. They believed in his relationship with God. It was real. He was going to tabernacle. The Bible says, when Moses was going to the tabernacle, look at what it says. All the people rose up, we're in verse 2, and they stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses till he was gone into. They stood at the tabernacle and they watched him walk by, or they stood outside their tent as he was going to the tabernacle, and they watched him go by, and they just watched him all the way till he got to the tabernacle. They were expecting something, weren't they? They were expecting something to happen. Here's the man who went up on the mountain and came down with law from God and instructions of how to build a tabernacle, dress the priests and all these things. And God gave this man all that stuff. And now he's going to meet with God again. Look, when I go seek God in the tabernacle, I just go and pray. But when Moses meets with God, stuff happens. And so they're watching. They want to see what happens when he gets there. And he gets to the door of the tabernacle in verse number 9. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. The cloudy pillar. Now, God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So that they knew where to go when he led them. And then when that pillar would stop, that smoke, that cloud, which is the presence of God, fire, and essence, the smoke, when that cloud would stop, they'd stop. And when it would go, they'd go. And now Moses goes to the tabernacle, and the presence of God, that pillar, comes to the door of the tabernacle. Isn't that incredible? Hey, God didn't disappoint those people that were standing at the front of the tent. They were watching. They wanted something to happen, and something did happen. God showed up. God met with Moses at the tabernacle. And the Lord, verse 9, the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. They were impressed. Boy, this was a sight. This was something. This was exciting. This was awesome. Do we get excited about the presence of God in our lives? I don't have a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud, but I have the presence of God. I have the presence, the sanctuary of God is filled with God now as we, God's people, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, are in this place. We're in God's presence. When we begin to sing those songs and we begin to cry out in prayer, God is here, not in a cloud, not in a fire, but He's here. The people worshiped. They stood and they were in awe and they prayed that God was there. Verse 11, and the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. That's how we should pray. I don't mean in familiar terms. I mean with high regard and respect and holiness and awe. We just talk to God. We don't have to say the King's English. We don't have to speak in the 1611 English. We just talk to Him. We pray. We speak to Him. And He hears our prayer. Face to face. Face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. To his friend. To his companion. And then Moses turned again into the camp. Who left the neighborhood and went to the tabernacle? Who was it? Verse 11 says, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. See, Joshua is always in the shadow of Moses. Man, he wants to learn. He's not going to get far away. He's right there on Moses' coattails, right there in his shadow. Moses goes to Sinai, Joshua goes to Sinai. Moses goes to tabernacle, Joshua goes to tabernacle. You can just count on it. Moses gets done talking to God, and he goes back to his tent. Joshua just stays. Joshua just loves all the presence of God, and he's just worshiping God and loving God and being in His presence. Guys, Joshua didn't have the presence of God when he left as we do. You see, when we leave this place, the Holy Ghost is in us, and He goes with us. The presence of God, the divine presence of God, is in us everywhere we go. Never leaves us, nor forsakes us. He said, I'm with you always. And so Joshua didn't have that. Joshua wanted to be in the presence of God. He had to stay in tabernacle where God was. If Moses wanted to go to God, he didn't just pray. I know God would have answered him. At times he did. But if Moses wanted to find God, wanted to talk to God, he had to go to God's house, God's tent. There are times in our lives where we try to pray and we can't. Times in our lives where we want to talk to God and it's not working. Something's mixed up. It's not getting through. Go to God's house. Get in God's presence. Get among friends. Worship. Doesn't say Joshua. What did it say Joshua did? It says he was just there. Doesn't say he sang or prayed. He was just there. It's good to just be in God's presence, in God's company, and say nothing. Just be with them. Just love God. And that's what Joshua was doing. And Moses said, verse 12, to the Lord, sayest to me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Moses says, I hear you say, lead these people. I don't know how. How many times has God ever called us to do something and we didn't know how to do it? Let me tell you something about pastoring. When you go to seminary and you go training, and even when you go work alongside of a pastor, there are things that you are taught. But you cannot be 100% prepared for the things that you face as a pastor. Pastoring is dynamic. It changes. I mean, you know what time to go to church. That's about the only consistent thing there is. Everything else, you got to deal with different personalities and different privacy and, you know, prayers and all these different things that people have. And you got to deal with everybody their way. Yes, God's way, but their way. Because you're trying to reach people, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. You learn a lot of it on the job. Moses says, God, you told me to do it, but you didn't. How am I going to do this? And by the way, you hadn't even told me who's going to go with you. I need some help. Verse 14, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He said, I'm going to give you the peace you need. He said, I'm not going to work you to death. It'll be okay, Moses, I promise you. I know it's been hard, 40 days up on the top of the mountain, a lot of work, a lot of instruction, but it's going to get easier. I'll give you rest. Verse 15. By the way, verse 15 is why we're in chapter 33. It's a great story, isn't it? One verse. And Moses said to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said, God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. Here's my thing. We need to wait for God to lead us. We don't need to step forward until God moves forward. Moses says, if you're not going, I'm not going. And we as God's people have got to adopt that sense for our lives. And not take any steps, not make any moves, not do anything. Guys, I know that there are a lot of things that we teach that the church ought to do, that every one of us ought to do. Let me tell you this. When you pray, pray and ask God's direction. But when you get up tomorrow and you think, well, I'm supposed to read my Bible and I'm supposed to go witness and I'm supposed to tell people about how to be saved, don't do any of that until God tells you to. Don't do anything because the church said so. Don't do anything because the preacher said so. You get in touch with God and say, God, what is it you want me to do? And I'll tell you what will blow you away is how that God will speak to you. By the way, be prepared, because he will. And you'll be standing in the grocery line or in the grocery aisle, and the Lord will speak to your heart and say, you know, that person right there might need Jesus. Is that the Lord speaking to us? Is that the Lord saying, I'm ready to move? You said you wouldn't do anything until I told you what to do, and I'm telling you now, do it. Or will we at that time? I was just kidding. Or a coworker, or a friend, or a neighbor, and God speaks to us. Or, you know, it may be something different. It may be about a gift, or it may be about a call, or it may be a simple thing about helping somebody, or praying for somebody, or encouraging somebody. Whatever it is. But here's what I'm saying. Don't do anything because it's the right thing to do religiously. Wait on God. Talk to God and say, God, I believe all these things that the Bible says. I believe all these things that the church teaches. God, I want to wait for you, and I don't want to do anything until you say do it. I don't want to go anywhere until you say go. I don't want to go anywhere on my own. I don't want to do anything in my power. I want to do what you want me to do. It's called surrender. And that's letting God lead us. Moses said, God, I don't know how to do it. The problem with most of us when it comes to ministry is we don't know how. I was talking to somebody today and we were talking about visitation. And it's incredible how visitation, you don't have to be brilliant. You know what you have to do? You go and you knock on the door And you come in, you sit down, and they say, do you want a glass of tea? And you say, of course I do. And you drink a glass of tea. And you let them talk. Just let them talk. You want to know what is sad? You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They're lonely. Wouldn't it be great if one of my friends from church would just stop by, call, and just let me talk? Just be here, like Joshua when he got to the tabernacle, he was just there. Say, God, talk to me. He just was there in God's presence, and that was enough. I love my church family. I just love being around you. Mind if you talk? I don't usually have much to say unless I'm preaching. But I'll listen. Guys, that's all it takes. And then when you're done listening, say a prayer. But let God lead us. Let's stop doing things because we think we should. And say, God, I'm just surrendered to you. I just do whatever you want me to do. Just show me. Just lead me. But if you don't go, I'm not going. If we'll honestly surrender to God that deeply, God will use us in a mighty way. Let's be prepared for that. Let's stand. It is important to know how to lead somebody to Jesus. And you know how you got saved? You were a sinner. And you called out to God and you said, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I trust Christ as my Savior. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give myself to you. And then you let God lead you. Because the Christian life is not the directive of the church. It's the directive of God. Moses said, if you will not go, if thy presence will not go with me, carry us not up. God, we love you so much, and we're glad to be in your house with your people to set aside everything else. And God, we love you so much, and we thank you for your love toward us. We thank you for your forgiveness, and we ask that you would answer the burdens, the prayers on each of our hearts. Use us this week. Show us the way. Dismiss us now with your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.